Whether you are new to the living healthy lifestyle or a healthy living veteran, this is the place for the honest answers to your questions. Naturally Savvy with registered holistic nutritionist Andrea Donsky and health journalist Lisa Davis on RadioMD.com.
When I see a blemish coming on my face, I immediately run and get the bentonite clay, mix it with a little water, maybe a little apple cider vinegar. I put it on, I sleep with it, and honest to goodness, by morning, it's gone down dramatically. Mm-hmm. It'll get rid of it, right? I mean, but you know what's so cool, Andrea, is I didn't know there was so many neat uses. I've just been using it for my skin, but apparently there's lots of cool things. And Daryl Bosshard is here to tell us all about the many therapeutic benefits of bentonite clay. Hey, Daryl.
Hey, thanks for having me on today.
Well, we're excited to have you, Daryl, because first of all, for those of you who are listening, I've known Daryl for many years, and I've used his product. Redmond Clay is amazing, and I agree with Lisa, putting it on your face, but also taking it internally. So we're excited to have you on the show today, and I would love you to tell our listeners a little bit about the uses of bentonite clay.
Yeah, so as you kind of started the segment out, almost everybody knows about using clay for facials. Every spa in the world, pretty much, offers a clay facial, and there's a good reason for that. When clay dries topically on the skin, it draws out impurities, and so it actually can lift off blackheads off your nose. It can lift off and deep clean the pores because of the way the clay, when it dries, it draws and it pulls. Just like it draws and it pulls, the other factor, which is important to healing in your face, is that when the clay does dry, and because it is pulling, it actually increases circulation. And this is why your face is generally kind of maybe red and blotchy after a good facial because of the way the in circulation has been increased. And so removing toxins from the skin and increasing circulation is nature's 1-2 punch for healing almost, well, I wouldn't say anything, but a lot of things topically. And this is why when elephants get hurt, an elephant doesn't generally run to the vet. He runs to the mud and he rolls in the mud and that mud dries and draws and lifts out thorns and pulls off thistles and cleans and purifies and is very healthy to the skin. And early man noticed this, which is why today, you know, every diva since Cleopatra has put clay on her face, and many men do too.
You know, one of the things I love, and you know, I remember Daryl when I was pregnant, and by the way, Lisa, Daryl was the first person I emailed when I was pregnant because I was so nauseous. And I remember you telling me at the time that it was safe to take clay and for certain uses, and I remember nausea was one of them, obviously if someone has an upset stomach. What are some of the internal uses that we can use clay for, and also how much should we be taking in order for it to be effective?
Great question. So just as long as mankind has been using clay externally, and animals have been using clay externally, they've been using it just as long for internal applications. And there's really four things that make clay work effectively inside, and we'll hurry and run through each of those. The first is that clay, under a microscope, looks like an axe, like activated charcoal. Many of your listeners have probably used activated charcoal or heard about it for food poisoning or for stomach upset or for gas, things like that, because of the way the activated charcoal binds stuff to it or draws stuff into it like a sponge. Well, the clay works very similarly to activated charcoal in the way that it draws stuff into it like a sponge. Now, the difference is that with clay, we also have a negative charge. So clay is really strong negatively charged. Everything in chemistry is a cation or an anion. And so things that are negatively charged will draw stuff positively charged to it, like a magnet. So not only does the clay work like a sponge, it actually works like a magnet. And this is why if you go into health food stores, you'll find clay in the detox section, because of the way that it dries and or draws metals and toxins to it. There's a lot of research on how clay draws cadmium, lead. A lot of these toxins in our bodies, you can identify with the negatively charged lead or particle in the clay, rather. And then the last two is clay is very alkaline. The right kind of clay, and when I say clay, I'm not suggesting any of your listeners go out and just grab a handful of dirt in their backyard, because there's different kinds of clay, but the right kind of clay has a high pH, and so it can settle off stomach acid, and so it can neutralize that acid because it is so alkaline. And then clay is also really rich in minerals. So because it works like a sponge and draws like a magnet, is rich in minerals and has a high alkalinity, this is why it's so helpful for stomach upset, nausea, and several, you know, internal issues.
Now, how does one find a good clay? Like, what characteristics should they look for internal and external use?
Yeah, so for clay, for the healing clays, the term is bentonite. You mentioned that name before. It's also kind of used synonymously with the term montmorillonite. So when you go to a health food store or a beauty salon, or you want to look for a bentonite or a montmorillonite clay. And for internal use, you want to make sure the clay has been handled and prepared using, food grade practices. So it's not, being treated and done stuff with other chemicals. Clay is used industrially, and sometimes they add things to it that you probably don't want to, put on your face or in your mouth. So you want to find a clay that's been prepared for clean food use and cosmetic use, as well as one that's sold under the name of bentonite or montmorillonite.
Now, Daryl, can clay contain any type of like heavy metals like lead or things that we shouldn't be putting into our bodies?
Yeah, absolutely. And with some of those things are added by man, like I mentioned before, in the processing. But then because clay is an earth-based mineral, and we live on the earth, there are all of the elements from the earth, pretty much, in the clay in trace amounts. So there is trace amounts of lead in clay, trace amounts of other minerals and elements in there as well. The important thing, though, is goes back to this negative charge I was telling you about before. So even though there is a trace amount of naturally occurring lead because it's from the earth in the clay, the form that it's in is not bioavailable. The FDA says very little, if any, of the clay can be absorbed by the body. But not only that, because the clay is so negatively charged, there are studies, peer-reviewed PubMed studies, that show that clay actually removes lead from hair, body, tissues, blood, even though there is a trace amount of naturally occurring lead there.
I had a feeling you were going to say that, which is so interesting. I'm very happy to hear that. Now, let's talk a little bit about how much and how much to do and how to take it. I remember someone was telling me, now I know you could, you have there's a liquid, an actual liquid clay, but you can also get capsules. If you were taking the capsules, do you just take it straight as a capsule, or should you open it, put it in water so that it can help activate the clay? And how much should we be taking if we want daily prevention?
Great question. So the original author on clay was a French naturopath. His name was Raymond Dextreet, and he wrote a book, excellent book, called Our Earth, Our Cure. In his book, he recommends a teaspoon of dry clay a day. And so in our capsulated product, that's about 3 capsules. Or you can just get a teaspoon of the powder. The powdered clay is less expensive just because it hasn't have to have been capsulated. And that's a great place to start, just a teaspoon a day. And you can mix it in a glass of water, or you can take the capsules as they are. We have some great videos on how to use clay internally and externally at YouTube. You just go to YouTube and search for Redmond Clay, and lots of good information there.
Now, I understand that you folks make a clay toothpaste. Tell us about this.
Yeah, so for years I've tried to find a toothpaste that I could feel good about using for myself and my kids, and I couldn't find one I was, really jazzed about. And so growing up, maybe because my dad was a genius or maybe because he was cheap, we actually brushed our teeth with a combination tooth powder made with 50% clay and 50% real salt. It's our brand of natural sea salt. And it worked great. And a few years ago, I was wanting to get back to that and thought, you know what, it doesn't taste all that great. And so we decided to make our own toothpaste. And so we took a little bit of the clay. Clay's a great polisher, rich in minerals, added some salt, a little bit of essential oil, made the world's ugliest toothpaste, but it is an incredible, healthy toothpaste.
Well, you know what, Daryl, I know you just mentioned your real salt. I'd love you to come back, and I'd love to do a show on the benefits of a good quality mineral salt, because I think a lot of people avoid salt when we need salt, our adrenals need salt. So I think it'd be great to have you back on to talk about that. And for those of you who are listening, you can go visit their website. Daryl's website is redmondtrading.com. You can also follow them on Twitter at redmondclay. Thanks for being on the show today, Daryl.
Thanks for having me.
I'm Andrea Donsky, along with Lisa Davis. This is Naturally Savvy Radio on Radio MD. Follow us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Your Radio MD and at Naturally Savvy. Thanks for listening, everyone. Be sure to take your bentonite clay. Stay well.